गीता संसार everyone's not here, I've been ordered to speak. I was typecast early in my career with Gurudev, him trying to teach me a particular lesson about the practice of bhakti. So he told me the story of Gita Sansar, which happened many years ago in India, and involves the unfolding of the life of a young student in the ashram of his spiritual master, his spiritual preceptor. As a young boy, he went into the school of his teacher and learned the values of spiritual life and served his teacher very dutifully and brought wood and studied Shastra, studied Bhagavad Gita. And in the end of his studies, when his time of studying with his teacher had come to an end, he asked his teacher, he said, "I would like to go back to my village. I'd like to go back to my village and build one nice, small, simple kutir on the outside of my village, and I'll chant, and I'll read, and I'll sing the pastimes of Sri Krishna, and I'll read the Gita, the Bhagavad Gita, that as you have taught me to read." So with some reluctance, the Gurudev gave him permission to go back there. As he made one small canopy and sat and read the Bhagavad Gita, he studied it deeply and considered what his Gurudev had taught him, and he would set his Gita down and he would go and he would take a bath and come back and read.
Guru Maharaj gave a Gita book.
Yes. As a gift, in parting, his Gurudev had given him one special Gita. In those days, again, everything was, there was no printing presses, everything had to be handwritten. So this was a very precious gift.
And read daily.
And he ordered him to read that Bhagavad Gita daily. So while doing this, he would also have to bathe, following the practices of Brahman, bathe in the river. And he would come back, and after a few days he noticed that some of the pages were starting to be eaten away, like were missing, some shlokas were missing. So one day he stayed and he watched, and he saw one mouse was coming and chewing away at his Gita. So one day, bathing, he was thinking, how can I rid myself of this? If this mouse has his way with my Gita, pretty soon I'll be missing all the middle chapters, then he'll go for the beginning chapters and the end chapters, and I'll have no Gita left. So he decided that a cat is the natural enemy of a mouse. So I'll procure a cat and keep the cat in my near my residence, and the cat will chase the mouse off. So very soon, this came some sun in his eyes. Very soon, the cat had chased the mouse away, and everything was fine.
Okay, go on.
So, after some time, the cat relied upon him, and he had to feed the cat. Because if the cat was relying upon him, he'd have to feed the cat. So, he didn't know what to do, so he approached a friend, a neighbor, and asked, "I have this cat. He's serving me so well. He chases away the mice. Now I have my Gita. But yet, the cat now relies upon me. What shall I do?" Well, his friend said, "Well, cats drink milk, and milks come from cows. So get a cow." So he got a cow, and he brought the cow into his ashram. Now, after maintaining, he was maintaining the cow and the cat. It was so pretty. You know, people live a lot longer when they have a cat to stroke. You know, it's scientifically proven. Cows are wonderful, so he had the cow near his tree, and he kept them very close. And he was still reading Gita, and he would read what was left of the Gita. Still, many shlokas were there, and but he saw that his cow was not so happy after some time. So seeing his cow unhappy and his cat being maintained by milk, he approached his friend, and his friend said, "Well, a cow won't be happy unless you untie it from the tree and give it some space. And you can't do that unless you have land. So you have to have some land." So he said, "That's a great idea. Thank you very much for your kind help." And so he then got some land, and then he fenced it in. So now he had some land and a cow and his cat and his Gita. And he was reading his Gita dutifully. And then at some point he started losing time in his reading of the Gita. And he was spending time milking the cow and fixing the fence and petting his kitty. And he realized that, "I just don't have time to do this anymore." And it was raining, he needed shelter. So he asked his friend again, "What should I do?" So his friend said, "If you want to study, if you want to focus on spiritual life, you need help in your house. So what you're going to need for that help is you're going to need one nice lady. One nice lady." So he said, "As a matter of fact, I know one gentleman who has a very beautiful young daughter, and she's of marriageable age, and I'll arrange this marriage for you." So he arranged, like a barber in India, they arranged marriage. The marriage was arranged, and he was married. And the big festival, she came to the ashram there, and then they built one beautiful house. Now his little simple ashram turned into a nice house. So he had a house and a beautiful wife, and he had a wonderful cow and fenced in land and his kitty. Now kittens and calf are coming. Oh, so many duties. So like many husbands, he thought, "I can now study intently and my wife will take care of all the household chores. So I will become renowned throughout the land as a great devotee, and she will become renowned as my chaste wife." So things in the house were going wonderful, but the wife seemed somewhat depressed. Like, you know, she wasn't so happy. And he was trying to figure it out, but he could find no Gita shloka that would substantiate this unhappiness. So he again went to his friend and said, "Everything's going along nicely in our house. I'm reading the Gita and I'm learning some shlokas, and my wife is doing all the service in the house. I'm wondering, though, she's somewhat upset. I'm wondering why." He said, "You don't understand. The nature of a woman is to want a child. So if you have children, there'll be many more people to take care of your home and your cow, and life will seem much more successful with children. And this will also make your wife happy." So, and sometime soon, children started coming, and the wife was happy, and he was reading the Gita, but slowly his reading of the Gita began to dwindle, because he also had to take care of some things. There was some checks and balances. "I did the laundry yesterday. Now it's your turn." I mean, come on. "I took out the trash yesterday. I fed the cow yesterday. Now it's your turn." "You mean I just can't sit and read the Gita all day?" Well, no, you have to actually contribute to the household. So this started going. He had, at some time, when more children were born, he had no time to read the Gita anymore. Absolutely no time for spiritual advancement anymore. So he wound the Gita up in one cloth, and he put it on a very, very high place, like a rafter in the house, so that no one could get to the Gita. His children wouldn't throw up on it, or the mouse wouldn't eat it, or there no floods would, you know, wet it. And in time, he was completely engaged in household services. So it was becoming more and more frustrating, understanding what his children desired, understanding what his wife desired, what the cow desired, balancing those with his own desires in the world. He seemed to be very perplexed. So he went to his friend, and his friend said, "Look, I helped you as much as I can. I mean, anybody would be happy in your situation. You got nice land, you have a nice wife, you have children, you have a cow. I just can't help you anymore." So he went home and was more and more frustrated until finally he just remembered those wonderful days with this guru, when life was so simple, when all he had to do was go bring in some firewood and sit at the Gurudev's feet and hear beautiful dissertations and discussions on the nature of existence and love of God. So he chanted the name of his Gurudev, because upon leaving the ashram of Gurudev said, "Anytime you need me, you can chant my name. You can sing my name and I'll come and I'll see you." So he sang the name of his Gurudev in utter desperation. And his Gurudev appeared there and said, "What is this? Where am I?" He said, "Oh, Gurudev, you're in my home. This is my village. This is my wife. These are my children. This is my cows, my calves. These are my kittens and cat. And this is my Gita Samsar. Thank you. But nothing. So it's Gita Samsar. Gita Samsar. And he says, "I offer all this to your feet, Gurudev. This is my offering to you." Things would have been so much simpler had his love for his guru propelled him into deep contemplation of the meaning of the Gita. Had he approached his life in a different way, and ultimately, as I discussed with our Shriman Pundarik Prabhu, who's not here, when we were discussing this pastime, this story, in each dilemma that he faced as a devotee, in each dilemma, he approached a neighbor who was expert in mundane advancement, expert in the ways of the world. And his only answer that he could give to solve one problem was yet another problem. They built on one another until he was so perplexed that he did not understand the meaning of existence anymore. So the deepest meaning of this pastime is that Srila Gurudev, I've seen that some people think Srila Gurudev is just expert at only spiritual things. He has no expertise in worldly things. But by following the instructions of the guru, all subtle things and what he talked about, Shraddha, having faith in serving Krishna and serving guru, everything will come from this. So lacking Shraddha, he had built this superficial world around him. And he never taught his children Gita. He never brought his relationship, his wife, into understanding the nature of the Gita. And when his guru came, he said, "Gurudev, I want your full blessings." And his guru said, "Then come back with me into the forest. So many people in your village can take care of this house. Your children can be taken care of. Your wife can be taken care of. But who will take care of you? Who will take care of you?" So he took the hand of his guru, and his guru led him into the forest, into the ashram, and he lived with his guru forever after that. So, Hare Krishna.
The purport of this story is that you should realize this fact and be careful. After Swamiji, Bhaktivedanta Swami Maharaj, left this world, at that time, thousands and thousands of brahmachari and sannyasi were there. And when he left, they became hopeless. They never trusted that, my Gurudev is always present with me and saving. Now they collected all his books with them. And they went to their village to make a hut and to read books and very beautiful bhajan kuti on the bank of a river or mountain or here and there to read the books. So, what happened? You should all brahmacharis. I know there are so many brahmachari here at that time. Now they have done Gita Samsar. No? So you should be very, very careful. Very, very. Don't follow that a rat will come, then a mice will come, then a cat will come, then a cow, then beautiful wife. Oh, they came to them very easily. And so many children, and they put their books in Almira. I went to their houses and told them, "Are you reading?" "No, we have no time at all." So this is the case. So for future, you should be careful. Don't follow that life. as Gaur Pramananda. Oh, Mula Prakriti where? Oh, you should give what?
Thanks
to them who anyhow helped in this Mahotsav festival. You know the names and who helped you, sir. And they should stand up, and when she will call the names, they should stand up that I will see that who are they.
First, we wanted to thank all the wonderful Vaishnavas who have come here, especially Srila Gurudev and his party and sannyasi who come. It was only because of them that we had the opportunity to do any service. So the devotees that helped put on the festival, there's actually a lot that I won't mention all of it. Dito, just the main devotees. And the first one is Gopa. He vowed in the beginning that he would just come to the festival, but he wanted to do bhajan and he couldn't do any help. And he ended up working 10 to 12 hours a day for 5 months. And then there's Vidagda Prabhu, Vidagda Madhava Prabhu.
Oh, yeah.
He made beautiful flyers and put everything on the internet and made lots and lots of arrangements artistically as well. And Rohini Nandan Prabhu and his wife, Anandini. They're there, over there. They worked so hard and made such sacrifices in building and making this beautiful festival site. And then there's Mangala and her beautiful daughters and children who did so much work on music and the dramas and decorating here as well.
Right, Mangala. All you should stand up. And his daughters, our daughters. They should also stand up, daughters.
I think they're in the drama. And then there's Shikhandi. Shikhandi and her family and her crew in the kitchen who've been working long, long hours. I think she's in the kitchen. And then there's Kamala Kanta Prabhu, who did a lot of the gardening and worked on a lot of the buildings. And then there's Govinda Mohini here, and her husband Bhakti, who worked hours. Here's Govinda Mohini, disciple.
And your husband?
Where's your husband?
Oh, he's not here yet.
He's coming. And then there's Jagadatri and her son Raghunath, who actually were the inspiration for many of us to move here to this big island, who encouraged us to have this program. And then there's Marvin and V. Where's Marvin and V? I want to introduce everyone to them. They saw a flyer, and just from seeing that beautiful picture of Krishna and being invited to the festival, they came and knocked on our door and said, can we do any seva?
Very good.
So they were serving almost every day till midnight some nights, working for this festival. And my god sister Kanupriya, Carla Petit, who came and did so much work on the temple for the deity. So we apologize to all the devotees that since this was our first year, we didn't do so well in all the organization and the time of the prasadam was laid, and I know some of the accommodations were austere, and we're so sorry that there was any inconvenience, and maybe next year we'll hopefully do better.
Thank you. My so many thanks and my heartly blessings to Mula Prakriti. For 6 months he's not sleeping at all. Always engaging all with your tears in eyes. Oh, pleasure. And thus she controlled everyone. And they were engaged in this festival.
By tears.
Oh, my blessing to all that there should be a pure devotees. There she realize. This year I like the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Nityananda Prabhu. And with their mercy, they can be able to serve Radha Dasya. Go. Now, you. Srinathan Thakur Gora Pahun Nabhajiya Main. Oh, I'm very
unfortunate.
I'm significant.
Insignificant.
I gave up chanting of Gaur name, Radha Krishna name. I always engaged myself in worldly intoxications. I'm a very wretched fellow. How I can be happy? Never and never. Oh, Gopchandra, you should be merciful. I'm praying in your lotus feet that be merciful. And I can do bhajan. Oh, Gorapam. No. Bas.
Gurapaho Nabho Jiyamaino Gurapaho Nabho Jiyamaino Adi Pre Maratana Dhana Helai Haraino Premaratana Dhana Helai Haraino O Goda Paho Nabho Jiya Moino আমি অধনে যতন করি ধনতে আগিনো অধনে যতন করি হে গৌরামা Gauramar Gauramar
Srila Gurudev has ordered me to tell the essence of this song that we have just sung by Srila Narottam Das Thakur. This is called Akshepa.
In the middle of song, our classes, I will tell.
our Srila Prabhupada, he used to love to sing this song on one of his very famous recordings, which we're all familiar with. It is one of the most deeply heart-touching songs. And personally, I felt very much inspiration from hearing this song, how he would sing it, crying from the core of his heart. So really, this is the mood of this song of Srila Narottam Das Thakur. He's expressing extreme deep regret. He is telling, "O Gaur Pahu, my dear Lord Gauranga, Na bhajiya maino, I have not worshipped you. Prema ratana dana helaye harainu. This great jewel, ratana dana, this great wealth of prema, I have simply completely ignored it. Helaye harainu. And thus, I have lost this opportunity. Adhana jatane kori dhana teyaginu. Apana karama doshe apani duvino. I have devoted myself to that which in this world is completely worthless. Adhana. And my real dhan, my real wealth, which is your two lotus feet, worshipping you, I have completely thrown that away. And what have I become absorbed in? Apana karama doshe apani dubinu. My own karmic reactions coming in my life, I've become absorbed in my life of samsara. And now I'm drowning in that life. Sat sanga chari kainu asate vilasa. I have given up sat sanga. Just like we have heard this story of Gita Samsara. I have given up the opportunity to associate with Guru, Vaishnavas, and those who are pursuing the path of eternal happiness, satsanga. Satsanga chari kainu, asate vilas. And I have been living in this asatsanga, in this world of non-reality, constantly in illusion, chasing after the will of the wisp, the mirage of the happiness of this world. Te karani lagilo ye karma banda fangsa. So I am caught in my own karmic follies, like a play, like a game. I'm here, simply going lifetime after lifetime. And this life simply has gone by, completely wasted. Oh, vishaya vishama vishu satata kainu. Always, I'm drinking this poison. I think that it's nectar, but I'm drinking this poison of vishai. And when I drink this poison of vishai, I become intoxicated with the desires of trying to enjoy this material world. But I've given up the real nectar. Gor kirtana rase magana na hoinu. I have not absorbed myself in gor kirtan ras. I could have tasted it, but I've ignored it. So now, what is my situation? At the end of the song, Narottam Das Thakur is deeply lamenting. Keno va achaye pran ki sukha paiya. Why am I maintaining my life? What kind of pleasure am I expecting to get in this wretched, horrible condition of my life? Narottam Das keno na gelu Maria. I'm in such a horrible situation that it would be better why I don't simply die. So this kind of deep lamentation and regret that Srila Narottam Das Thakur is expressing, this is the mood by which a devotee can actually come to the lotus feet of Krishna and can actually come before him in a shameful condition, begging Krishna, please, now I realize that I've been so neglectful of you. Oh, Gauranga, you've come to save all the fallen souls. You've come to give this nectar of kirtan ras, but I've simply ignored it, and I've simply drunk poison. So this is the very deep inspiration of our Rupanuga, great Rupanuga Acharya Srila Narottam Das Thakur.
Very well.
I request to you all to realize this song, and you should sing this song and realize. Also, I can advise you, always hear kirtan of bona fide persons. Narottam Thakur, Bhakti Vinod Thakur, Premananda, Govinda Das and others, composed by them. And by the mouth of any pure devotees. It will help your devotion. And if you are not following that, you are doing yourself something or hearing from non-devotees, it will not be so helpful. Because their mood is so high. By their songs, will have inspiration from them himself. Narottam Thakur song, oh, it will come on your heart and it will help you. So better to follow this. Or Guru Maharaj. Oh, he invited all the parikrama so many, thousands and thousands. But he told that, oh, any devotee should begin kirtan and all others should
follow.
Not guidance.
Not
they should guide. Understand?
All should be in guidance.
They should do first and then all others should. Like Krishna Das, like Maharaj, like Samarani, like others. And only the song of them. Sometimes to explain you can make your own songs, no harm. But to glorify them. And thus very soon you will be on the path of Rupanuga Vaishnava. Agyanatimirandhasya Gyananjanasalakaya Chakshurunmilitam jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Nama Vancha Kalpatarubhyasya Kripa Sindhubhyayivacha Patitanam Pamanibhyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Namo Mahapadannaya Krishna Prema Pradayate कृष्णाय कृष्ण चैतन्य नामने गौरतिशे गुरवे गौरचंद्राय राधिकाय तदालय कृष्णाय कृष्ण भक्ताय तदभक्ताय नमो We are discussing so high classes of or important Siddhanta. Very carefully you should give attention. Then even in nectar of even one word you should not miss. It will help you so much. So, we discussed about Shraddha, Sadhu Sangha, Shraddha again. And then taking shelter in the lotus feet of Gurudev, taking Diksha, Siksha, serving Gurudev. What, how? Vishrambhena Guru Seva. Oh, he is my best bosom friend and protector and seva. Like this. And then, oh, give up all the nonsense things. And then, oh, Nishtha may come. After Nishtha, Ruchi, Ashrakti, and then. But there are all the explanation of Anya Vilasita Sunyam, Dhyan Karma Dhanavritam, Ankullena Krishna Nushilanam, Bhakti Uttama. Barometer is Anya Vilasita. To please Krishna, to serve Krishna, to chant and do everything by your all senses continuously in the guidance of Guru Vaishnava, always like a honey,
unbroken
stream of
honey
like that. This is bhakti. But it is not highest bhakti. If it will be done, giving up all kinds of worldly desires, anyabhilashita, and jnana karma anapratam, not covered with jnana and, then it will be the highest, up to madanakya bhava. It is not formally sadhana. It is Siddha too. So Radhika's, this Uttama Bhakti is in purest and in fullest form. We are doing sadhana. And due to, by the stage of our, what we are doing with Anna Vilas, or bhakti with covered of jnana and this. What we are doing, so bhakti has been told of various kind. And that I just told yesterday. Dhruva bhakti is not, it has been cancelled. It is no bhakti. It not comes in the category of pure bhakti. So it has been rejected. Understand why? Why it has been rejected? Always take the barometer of Anna Vilasita and then judge. To any devotees too, you should take this look and see whether he is following this or not. Then proper you should give respect.
Srila Gurudev has ordered me to explain why the activities of Dhruva Maharaj are not pure bhakti, why it has been cancelled and rejected.
In brief, not.
Dhruva Maharaj is called a Sakam Bhakta. That means that his bhakti was mixed with karma, the desire to enjoy the fruits of his activities. He desired a kingdom greater than the kingdom of his father, who was the ruler of the whole earth, even greater than the kingdom of Brahma, who is the ruler of the whole universe. His brother was favored by his mother, and he wasn't. So he became upset, and he wanted to get this kingdom. So his mother advised him to go to the forest, that the best of all mothers and all fathers multiplied millions of times over is Lord Narayan. So Dhruva Maharaj went to the forest, and there Krishna or Bhagavan, seeing him with a strong desire to get his darshan, to get his material fruit, sent Narada as his spiritual master. And under the guidance of Narada Muni, he engaged in great austerities. First, he was only eating the roots of the tree, roots and leaves of plants, and then every few days he was just taking some water, and gradually his austerities became so great that he was only taking air every 12 days. After 6 months, he being carrying the Lord within his heart, he also became heavy like the Lord. Because the Lord was in his heart and the Lord is heavy, Dhruva Maharaj became so heavy, standing on one foot, that he compressed the earth, the whole earth sunk in. And because he wasn't breathing but every 12 days taking a breath, the whole universe became suffocated. So the demigods went to Lord Narayan and said, please do something before the whole universe suffocates. So he was thinking of Lord Narayan within his heart, and then Lord Narayan came out of his heart, his meditation broke, and he saw the Lord face to face. Knowing that his desire was to have a great kingdom to rule, Lord Narayan didn't even waste time hearing from him what he wanted. He just told him, I am going to grant you first the kingdom of this earth, which you'll be able to rule for 36,000 years. And after that, you'll be given a planet, which is the neighboring planet to the Ramapriya Vaikuntha planet, the Vaikuntha planet within this material world. And you'll be able to rule there on the planet called the Pole Star. Then the Lord disappeared, and Dhruva Maharaj lamented and wept that I was looking for some broken pieces of glass, some material facility, even wanting a kingdom of the universe, he now considered as broken pieces of glass. But I found a great jewel. But I neglected that jewel and I accepted this benediction, material benediction from him. So we want to follow Dhruva in the sense of minimizing our material necessities, doing austerities for the sake of reaching the Supreme. But we don't want to follow him in the sense that he had material desires, which was his motivation for serving. So in the barometer verse, Anyabhi Lasita Sunyam, Jnana Karmadi Anavratam, his bhakti was covered. It was avratam, not anavratam. It was covered by karma, the desire to enjoy the fruits of his so-called bhakti. And therefore his bhakti is not pure and he doesn't fit within the category of Anyabhi Lasita Sunyam.
After that, Jnana Bhakti comes. Sriman Shyamananda to explain this, what is Jnana Bhakti? Can you? Why? Why you are disturbing me? Bhakti Sar Maharaj. What do you mean by Jnana Bhakta? Jnani Bhakta.
So we saw the play of Sri Prahlad Maharaj and his father Hiranyakashipu and the appearance of Lord Nrisingadev. So I won't dwell on the details, because we all saw the play. However, we can understand in that play, to make brief, there were two important things. One is we can learn from Prahlad, just as we learn from Dhruva to have determination to achieve our goal. From Prahlad, we learn to completely accept the Lord as our protector and our maintainer. And this is considered the most important or sort of lakshana of Sharanagati, Gopar Tritvatve, to accept the Lord as one's maintainer. And the other symptoms of Sharanagati are considered the Tatastha lakshana, or subsidiary to that, secondary characteristics. So Prahlad Maharaj demonstrated this very important primary characteristics of Sharanagati, to accept the Lord as his maintainer. He never worried for himself in any dangerous situation created by his father, death-threatening situation. He was only remembering the Lord and chanting the Lord's holy names. At the same time, when he had
He's called Gyanabhakta because he had knowledge of the Lord's omnipresence. He saw the Lord everywhere. He felt his presence at all times. He saw him in all things. He had awareness, knowledge of the Lord's omnipresence. He had the knowledge of the Lord's omnipotence. And he had the knowledge of the Lord's omniscience, that the Lord knows all things. He knows everything through all time and all space. He's everywhere and he's all powerful. So he never felt any concern or need for himself to worry about anything. But because his worship of the Lord is somewhat covered by this knowledge of the Lord's opulence, when the Lord appeared and fought with Hiranyakashipu and all his demoniac armies and destroyed them all, and then he was sitting there still angry. He was sitting roaring still, and everyone was afraid. The demigods were afraid to approach him, and they kind of pushed Prahlad forward. You handle this, because we're too afraid to approach the Lord. And Prahlad came up and sat on the Lord's lap, and the Lord was pacified. But even though the Lord was covered with blood, and he just exerted himself in a great heroic battle for his pleasure, ultimately, as we know, behind the Leela, this was all for his pleasure, that he could manifest his heroic mood and angry mood. Still, Prahlad didn't say, "Oh, my dear Lord, would you like some water?" You see, his knowledge of the Lord's greatness covered his devotion in a way that made it not so spontaneous. Not like Mother Jasoda, who thinks, "Oh, if I don't feed Krishna, he will die." Her knowledge of the Lord's opulence, omniscience, omnipresence, and omnipotence is completely covered and lost in her maternal mood of love and affection for the Lord. So she thinks, without my protection, she's not thinking Krishna is my protector. She's thinking I'm Krishna's protector and I'm his maintainer. So we see there's a difference, a distinction between the bhakti of Prahlad and the bhakti of Mother Jasoda. And this example is that because his bhakti is conditioned by gyan and knowledge of the Lord's aishvarya or opulence, it is that when we measure it by the barometer of anyabhilasita shunyam, we see that his bhakti is somewhat covered by gyan and therefore doesn't quite meet the standard of pure bhakti.
But I want to ask you, his activities and meditation was pure or not? Understand?
Yes.
Was it pure bhakti or not?
Yes, it was pure bhakti, but not
but,
of the
but
highest.
What loopholes? What? Where is the defect that you tell him Jnani Bhakta? Oh, what you are giving?
My Krishna is gone.
You, Madhva Maharaj, what I asked, his bhakti was pure or not? If not, then why? Or if it is pure bhakti, then what is some defect, loopholes? Do we want to follow his bhakti or not? This is
so, we have heard from Sri Bhakti Sar Maharaj about Prahlad Maharaj. So Gurudev asked, what is defect in his sadhana?
No sadhana, in his bhakti. He was not sadhak at all.
What is defect in his bhakti? And why you address him as a Jnani Bhakta? And after that, next moment, Gurudev asked you, address you all, do you like to follow Prahlad Maharaj or not? That everyone answer no, no. Why not? Something must be there. So Prahlad Maharaj, he has opulence mood. He is seeing his God everywhere. That he is omnipotent, omniscient, everything. He never think that my God is hungry, thirsty. He never thought this. is beyond of his expectation. But according to this Baramichara Guru Gosaipad, Anna Vilasita Sunnam Ganakarma Dhanavritam Anukullena Krishnanu Silanam Bhakti Ruttama. Here, Prahlad Maharaj's the activity of body, mind, sense and emotion is not for completely to satisfy Krishna or to welfare of Krishna, not to pleasing Krishna. So, because he always opulent mood, he sing, my God is everywhere present, and in God everyone is present there. So he is
always in the mood of
opulence mood. Yes, he always is opulence mood. So his bhakti is not pure bhakti according to Rupa Goswami Pad's definition.
Pure bhakti, but something defect.
I am going to Rupa Goswami Pad's definition.
No, don't you can tell that defect.
No, I am not told defect. I told according to Rupa Goswami Pad, it is not pure as Rupa Goswami Pad want to say.
Follow me.
Hare Krishna. Panchakalpataka Vastakshita Paritanam Pavanebho Vastakshita Namo Namo.
Now you understood what Vrajnath he told? Again you should hear and try to understand. Prahlad is Mahabhagavat, not like Mahabhagavat. But we don't follow. We follow anyone who has the mood of Brajavasi Mandi. This is the main thing. Oh, Krishna is Jasoda Nandan. Krishna is a friend of cowherd boys. He is Gopi Ballabh or Gopi Nath, Radhana. He is not God at all. He has no opulence. He cannot take his own meal. I will have to give my breast milk. So he is always playing. I should take him from forest and forcibly I should
feed him.
Oh, what Prahlad Maharaj did? He thinks that he is not, he has no appetite, nothing to do, he never tires, he is lords of lords. So he is praying and he is pure Saranagati, in Saranagati too, and he is Mahabhagavat. But we want that this bhakti will not direct us to Golok Vrindavan. It may take to somewhat to Vaikunth bhakti. Nrisimhadev always in Vaikunth. So this is something that we should think about this. Now, Shuddha Bhakti.
We have want to say something first.
We understand this very beautiful ideal that we want Braja Bhakti. But our acharyas, they have so much emphasized the teachings of Prahlad Maharaj.
Yes.
That we should very clearly understand. And if we say we don't want to follow, devotees may think we should not care for Prahlad Maharaj.
Right, all right.
But still we are cautioned by Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Prabhupada, Srila Bhakti Vinoda Swami Prabhupada also. How we should understand these teachings?
Oh, you should understand that in the beginning, as he followed Saranagati, you should follow. As his bhakti was to selfless, even Krishna came in the form of Nrisimhadev, and he wanted to give some boon, but he denied. He never thought about his father, mother, like Dhruva, that where is my mother? Never. All these are things that first we should follow these, then Braj Bhakti. So you must follow these things in the beginning. And when you will know that Krishna is Supreme Lord, we should try to be Saranagat to him. And then
you can develop. Swamiji came, Bhaktivedanta Swami Maharaj Prabhupada came and told everywhere the first lesson that Krishna is Supreme, Lord of Lords. Very accurate. He can do anything. But he sent me to tell that my task is completed. Now you should go and tell them, all the devotees, clearly, that you should try to forget that Krishna is Supreme Lord. So by the order I am coming and telling you that any good devotee, they should follow practically Pranad Maharaj in the beginning. But at the end, God will be there. Oh, Pranad Maharaj, you should be merciful to me that I can follow any Brajavasi. Ultimate goal is that. We are in Vaidhi Bhakti, even not Rupa Anuga. Always this, consider this fact and then go on to me. Now, Subhadra Bhakti, who is, and you should explain. Subhadra Bhakti. Yeah. It's very big. Why? But where is the defect? Where is his glory? Oh, try to share very presently. Then you will can judge who is in what stage of bhakti.
Omagyana Dhimirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Minitam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha.
So in the progression of the advancement in pure bhakti, now we come to the level of Shuddha Bhakta, someone who is actually considered pure bhakta. Up to this point, their bhakti has not been considered completely in that category, because there is something still covering. In the case of Prahlad Maharaj, Gyan still covering there. In the case of Dhruva Maharaj, he had some tendency toward karma. He wanted to enjoy some opulence of this world. So the Srimad Bhagavatam narrates the story of Maharaj Ambarish. And Ambarish Maharaj, he was completely, fully devoted to Krishna. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, it is described that Ambarish Maharaj was fully serving with all of his bodily senses and his mind. Savai mana Krishna padada vindayor vachamsi vaikunta gunana varadane. He was serving with his mind always fixed in Krishna. His words were always glorifying Krishna. His hands and his different organs of his body, his legs, they were always engaged in cleaning the temple, going on pilgrimage to holy places. And constantly his ears were absorbed in hearing sapkatodaye, constant recitations of Krishna's glories. His nostrils, his sense of smell, were engaged in smelling the very beautiful flowers and tulsi offered to the lotus feet of the Lord. His eyes were engaged in seeing the very beautiful deity forms of the Lord. So like this, all of his senses, his mind, and his bhavs of his heart, they were fully absorbed. So according to the definition of pure bhakti, anyavilashita shunyam jnana karmadi anavritam anukul yena krishnanushilanam. He was constantly doing anukul krishnanushilanam, fully absorbed, even with his very bowels of his heart. So Maharaj Ambarish also had the very outstanding quality, Gurudev told the other day, that he had very deep, full faith in the statements of the Shastras. And the Shastras are telling the benefits which are derived in terms of acquiring the blessings of Bhakti Devi if one follows Ekadasi Vrat. So we have heard the story how Ambarish Maharaj, along with his queen and along with so many associates, was going to the Madhuvan forest on the Jamuna River. And there he was performing so many austerities every single Ekadasi and Dvadasi day for one whole entire year, performing Nirjala Ekadasi. And he was constantly hearing the glories of Krishna when he would go on these days. And then at one point, when it was time at the end of 1 year for him to break his Ekadasi fast, if he would not break it at the very exact param time, and if he would go over that param time by even 1 or 2 seconds, then all the benefits of his entire fast would be lost. So at this time, we know that Durvasa Rishi came there. Durvasa Rishi is a very, very powerful Brahma, a realized Rishi. He can travel anywhere in the whole universe in a single moment. If he looks upon anyone and he says, "Oh, you should die," immediately that person will die. So he had very great power and mystic potencies. And he came there. And at that time, Maharaj Ambarish was just at that moment preparing to break his Ekadasi fast. And all of his Brahmins and advisors were there, and they were telling him, "Yes, yes, this is the time coming, approaching right now." And suddenly Durvasa Rishi came. Oh, so Maharaj Ambarish, very with great respect, he offered his dandavat pranams to Durvasa. And then he greeted him and asked him to please come. "I am just about to break my Ekadasi fast, and it would be my great honor if you would also come and you would observe this great feast. And it is so auspicious that you have come at this moment. So please, come now, and I am just about to break my fast." But Durvasa Rishi told, "First I must go, and I will bathe in the Jamuna River, and then I will return." So Maharaj Ambarish told him, "We will wait here for you." So as the final minutes were approaching, Maharaj Ambarish was becoming concerned. Durvasa had not come back. And he was asking his advisors what to do, what to do. So just at that very final time, Durvasa had not returned, then his advisors instructed that you should take simply a palmful, just one drop of Sharanamritam. Because this can be considered both breaking and also not breaking the Ekadasi fast. So in this way you will not offend your guest, because if one invites a guest to come to prasad, to observe a prasadam feast, and he does not wait for that guest to come, and he himself takes before that, it is considered a great transgression of etiquette, and like an insult. So Durvasa Rishi, at the moment when Ambarish Maharaj took this drops of Sharanamritam, he, by his mystic power, immediately he knew, he understood, oh, this king, this puffed up king, he has thought that he is so great that I have come here, great Brahma Rishi, and he will take this feast before me. So he became extremely angry. And he pulled some hairs from his head and he threw it on the ground. And immediately a very powerful fiery demon was created. And then he sent that this demon should go and should immediately destroy and kill Ambarish Maharaj. So the demon was coming toward Maharaj Ambarish. And Maharaj Ambarish was standing there with folded palms. And Durvasa Rishi was cursing Ambarish Maharaj. How foolish and puffed up he is. But very humble, without budging, without being nervous or anything. Maharaj Ambarish was simply standing there. And as this demon approached, immediately from Lord Narayan himself, Sudarshan Chakra came and came flying in the sky and completely destroyed this demon. So Maharaj Ambarish was standing there, and Durvasa Rishi saw the Sudarshan Chakra, and now the Sudarshan Chakra began to come towards him. So Durvasa Rishi became extremely frightened, because this Sudarshan Chakra is so all-powerful. It is the most powerful weapon in the whole creation. The whole creation can be destroyed by this weapon. So at that moment, immediately, Durvasa Rishi began to run at top speed, and he flew off into the air, into the far corners of the universe. And as he was flying along, Sudarshan Chakra was simply pursuing him right behind him. And he was feeling the burning heat of Sudarshan Chakra coming. So as he went, First of all, he went to the abode of Lord Brahma. And in the abode of Lord Brahma, he fell at the feet of Brahmaji. And he told, please, please protect me, please protect me. Sudarshan Chakra is coming to burn me. And Brahmaji told, oh, I'm very sorry, Durvasa Rishi, but I do not have the power. This is coming from Vishnu himself. The only person that can stop this is Vishnu. But you can go to Lord Shiva, because he is very dear to Lord Vishnu. Perhaps he can also stop this chakra. So then immediately he flew to the abode of Lord Shiva. And in the abode of Lord Shiva, he fell at his lotus feet. And he begged, please, please, save me. And Lord Shiva told him, oh, I'm sorry. It is not possible. This is the most powerful weapon of my Lord, Lord Vishnu. So you must go immediately to Lord Vishnu. He's the only one that can save you. And now he flew and flew through the air. And actually he went to the abode of Vishnu within the material world. And that, in that abode, he fell at the lotus feet of Vishnu. And there he was shaking, and the Sudarshan Chakra was standing, was coming closer and closer. And he begged Lord Vishnu, please, please save me. And Lord Vishnu told him, no, it is not possible. I'm sorry, my dear Rishi. Aham bhakta paradhino hyasvatantra iva dvija. Sadubir brasta hridayo bhaktair bhaktai jana priyaha. Aham bhakta paradhino. I am not actually independent. I am completely dependent upon my bhakta. I am not svatantra. He is completely controlling me by his love. And my bhakta is, I am within the heart of my bhakta, and the bhakta is within my heart, and even those who are the bhakta of my bhakta, bhaktair bhakta janat priyaha, those who are priya to my bhakta, oh, they are also very dear to me. So it is not possible for me to save you in this situation because you have offended my pure bhakta. So the only way that you can get released from this, you must immediately go and you must fall at his lotus feet in great repentance with tears in your eyes and beg him to forgive you. And then only will you be protected from the power of my Sudarshan Chakra. Otherwise it will destroy you. So immediately Durvasa Rishi went flying again through the universe and he came back to the very lotus feet of Maharaj Ambarish. And during this time, one entire year had passed. And Maharaj Ambarish had stood there waiting for Durvasa Rishi. And he was praying and praying to Sudarshan Chakra. And actually this is the only reason why Sudarshan Chakra did not completely burn him. Because the pure devotee was praying for his protection. So then at that moment, Durvasa Rishi, he fell at the lotus feet of Maharaj Ambarish. Maharaj Ambarish immediately prayed to Sudarshan Chakra. Oh please, he glorified Sudarshan Chakra. And he begged him that he would release this Durvasa Rishi. And now Sudarshan Chakra hovered in the sky and then disappeared. Now Durvasa Rishi was so much humbled. And he was crying at the lotus feet of Maharaj Ambarish. And Maharaj Ambarish was feeling very embarrassed that such a great Brahma Rishi was at his feet. And immediately he bowed down and he picked him up. Please, please, don't pay obeisances to me. Please, now I want that you will honor this feast with me. And at that moment, oh, Durvasa Rishi began to praise Maharaj Ambarish. What is that verse? Mahima adrishtame. Today I have seen the Mahima, the glories of the Dasas, those who are the servants of Ananta Vishnu. I have seen their glories. Because even though I just tried to destroy them, oh, they are so merciful, so kind, so non-envious, that they prayed for me, for my benefit. So in this way, he glorified Maharaj Ambarish, and Maharaj Ambarish begged him, please, now you stay here and you observe a great feast with me. And then Durvasa Rishi accepted. He observed this great feast. And then after that, he begged to take leave of Maharaj Ambarish, and he left to go to his abode. So in this way, the glories of the pure Shuddha Bhakta, who is completely surrendered to the lotus feet of Krishna, completely thinking about Him and absorbed in Him and has prema in his heart for Krishna. He is so dear to Krishna that if anyone even slightly offends him, Krishna will never forgive that person. It is impossible that that person can be forgiven until and unless he goes to the very pure devotee that he has offended. So this is the lesson of Shastra. And we see that Maharaj Ambarish, he is considered, although he is actually in the stage of sadhaka, he is not in the stage of siddha. Like actually Prahlad Maharaj, he is siddha, like Gurudev told. No longer simply sadhaka. But Maharaj Ambarish, although he's sadhaka, he is considered superior because he is a shuddha bhakta and his bhakti is in a higher stage. It is considered higher because he has engaged all of his senses according to this verse of Anyavi Lashita Shunyam. He has engaged all of his senses and his mind and his bhavs of his heart completely in serving Krishna favorably. So in this way, this shuddha bhakta in this world, the prime example is Maharaj Ambarish.
Really, he engaged everything in the service of Krishna. His tongue, mind, hands, feet, heart, head, everything. It is true. But he was sadhak. He was not able to serve face to face. But Premi Bhakta, like Hanuman, face to face to Ramchandra, more superior to Nisingadev, he served Ram in so many ways. So many ways. And he Siddha, very powerful. But he used to feed Ramchandra. He used to think that Ram will be tired. So he used to take him on his soldiers. Always protecting him with his tail like a cashew. He went to Lanka and he burnt all Lanka, which was made of only gold and
gold and jewels.
Diamonds and jewels. Only for that he has stolen away Sita. He requested Sita to come on his back and he will at once take you to Ram. She denied. Oh, Ram should come here. You cannot touch me. And then he came and took Ram, Lakshman and all. And they went to Lanka and they finished everything. And gave kingdom to Vibhishan. And after them, 11,000 years he served Ram in various ways. I have no time to explain. So he is serving in very good way. This Anna Vilas slok covers all. But there is something. And what is that? He cannot embrace Krishna Ram. Never. If Ram is sitting with Sita in night, he cannot go there. He cannot feed Ram with his remnants, which is very sweet and okay.
Delicious.
He cannot. He cannot fight with Ram and defeat. So, not like Laukik Bandhuvat. He cannot serve Ram as a Laukik Bandhuvat, means
worldly friendship.
Friendship. But it was in Pandavas, especially in
Arjuna.
Krishna married his sister to Arjuna. And for Arjuna, in Mahabharata battle, he took the reins of his chariot and he served Arjuna. Even he served his horses. He did so many
menial service for Arjuna.
Menial
means? Lowly, humble.
Sadharan service.
So many things. Arjuna and Krishna can sleep on a same bed. And Krishna can give his feet on the breast of Arjuna. And Arjuna too, he can give his feet on him. Krishna engaged Hanuman, that Hanuman. Oh, in the service of Arjuna, you should always protect and be on the
top of the chariot,
top of the chariot in Dhvaja. And you will have to serve him. I am serving your master. Well, I am Ram serving, so you should serve him. So Arjuna, very good. I think that Draupadi is more superior than Arjuna too. Krishna always followed the order of and he used to tell her, Sakhi, like Braj Sakhi. But something. What?
He is not pleased by them, but not controlled by them.
He cannot send Arjuna to Braja. He cannot. If he will see the universal form of Krishna, he will beg. Oh, my dear Supreme Lord.
Excuse me.
I have made you like a servant in my chariot. I have told you friend. Oh, now you should excuse my these things. But any Brajavasi? Oh, they cannot. Krishna may show him millions of his universal universal form to them, and they will simply laugh and joke.
They are not given importance.
Any ghost has come. Not more than that. Krishna showed his universal look to Mother Yashoda two times. And then he showing this fear and at once called the Brahmins. Oh, what is this? Any ghost in the mouth of Krishna or on me? They told us, oh, anyhow we will save Krishna and you. Bring a black cow, some cow dung and cow
urine.
Mix it.
Make a
paste. And with the tail of
cows.
Oh, we will do. Save Krishna mantra. Oh, lalate keshavam jhai. Like this. And they did and fell over Dakshina. And Yashoda Maiya all gave so many donations. So, even by saying
universal form,
innocent, they don't care for that. But for Pandavas, they can. Sometimes they are polite, sometimes when they forget this, then like friend. But not bosom friend as Brajavasi, cowherd boy. They can defeat Krishna. Arjuna cannot give any sweet thing from his mouth to Krishna. He has no dare. But Brajavasi, what can they? If they are taking anything very sweet, then they will take from their mouths and give it.
Oh, Krishna. Want,
and Krishna will happily take it.
Not by force, by their
own. Oh, very, 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 very sweet friends. So, Arjuna and Pandavas cannot. They have sometimes Aishwaryamayi Bhakti. The appellants, they can see the appellants of Krishna. So, he could not send him. But why he was. He was under the control of Arjuna, you know. Only there was a Sakha in Braja. His name was Arjuna. And he was
Priya Narma Sakha.
So by this reference,
similarity by name,
he used to love Arjuna.
Wasn't the Arjuna book an expansion of the Arjuna in Braj?
Yes. In the expansion of Braj Arjuna, and Dwarka Krishna is Arjuna really. So
you will learn Braja Japiran sa Tari ki prakasa Arjuna. Bole Braja Japiran ma sakha Tari ki prakasa.
No. Arjuna in Braja. Dam, Sridam, Sudam, Vasudam, Lavanga, Ujjwal, Arjun, Kokil, Bringa, Basanta, Subal Sakha and then Madhumanga. They are very high class of Bhujang friend. They can go up to Mahabhava also, Subal and. So Arjun cannot be like this. But more than that, Uddhava is Prem Parbhak.
Prematur.
Pandavas are Prem
Par.
And Uddhava is
Prematur.
Why Prematur? More superior than Arjuna. He was so much qualified that, Uddhava, my father and mother, especially my beloved gopis are dying in separation. I am also dying in their separation. But there are some certain things that I cannot go. I cannot satisfy gopis. When I will go, they will burn into more separation. That is why for them I am not going. Please go and satisfy my father, mother, Brijavasi. Even cow cubs, and especially my gopis, and especially Lalita Vishakha, in especially Radhika. Very soon I am coming. Other, you should not tell by your
own word.
Words. Only what I am giving, so many
messages.
So one after, you should give. So he went here. He wanted to send Uddhav in the school where Krishna has learnt of Prem. Nishwar, Nirmal Prem.
Selfless, pure Prem.
Because Krishna had learnt all this from the school of love and affection in Braja, principally Srimati Radhika, the Lalita Vishakha are head of the departments, and others. And Krishna learned Prem. What is Prem? Radhaya Pranayamani. This is look applied to there. And then he said that he should be admitted in the school of gopis. But when he went there, gopis took his examine. Whether he should be admitted in our school or not. And Uddhav felt. He was not admitted in this school. But he realized, how glorious this school is. And then he began to
pray.
Bande Nanda Braja Istrinam
Padarin
Mahitra. Jasam Hari Kathod Gita Punat Guanatrayam. I am going down. Even one dust of any gopi of Braja. But it would be better that I should pray one dust of Srimati Radhika lotus feet. And then to serve Radhika. Sri Uddhava prayed like this. And he thought that I am not qualified to be in this school. So he knew the glory from far away and he returned back to Krishna. Oh Krishna, you should come to Vrindavan yourself. I cannot do anything. I went there, but I increased their separation. I made them more suffering. So please, you should come. Otherwise, they will die. All cows will die. Father, mother, God. So if you want to save praja, then you must come. Krishna began to weep and weep. Uddhava could not understand that Krishna heart. How soft is the heart of Krishna. He was feeling more separation that gopi felt separation for Krishna. But none is to help, to share. So he told Uddhava, you have gone there and have touched some glory of gopis. Now I can tell something about my heart, how I am feeling. I send you only for these things. So Uddhava is Prema Atur. Atur means, you know, very much excited or what?
Not too much excited, excited by love.
Overwhelmed. No? Overwhelmed with the love and affection he saw in gopis. He could not imagine that why Krishna came from Braja. All love him most. In Dwarka and Mathura, not so much. And why he married with 6,000 of wives here? Why he married? And so many children? Why he did? Oh, he could not calculate with his mind. So Krishna was repenting and repenting for gopis. He could not tell all this, his heart, open his heart to Uddhava too. He wanted to come, but there was some restriction that he could. So they are, Uddhava is Prematur, and he is glorified and want to serve, but he cannot be a grass of Vrindavan to serve gopis. He wanted, but he could. So gopis are not merely any bhakta. They are the extension of Krishna. One is no difference. Kalabhiha. What?
Ananda chinmaya rasa pratibhavita abhi.
Is the rupataya kalabhi. Kalabhi means all the manifestors of Krishna. Kaya bhukulai. Or sometimes Samas gopi, especially Radha, is superior to Krishna in this respect about loving each other. Srimati Radhika, love is of Matanakya bhav, Krishna cannot touch. So to enjoy this Matanakya bhav, he came at Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Sachinandan Gaur. Gaur Hari ki. Gaur. All the devotees should be ready for drama play. And
name announced.
And you.
You gave the definition of Prem Atur. What is the definition of Par? Prem Par.
Superior?
Prem Par Bhakta. Prem Par Bhakta. Par means more sick. More sick.
One question. How to reconcile that Ambarish Maharaj is Suda Bhakta? He worshipped Radha Krishna in Vrindavan. And Hanuman, he is worshipping Ramachandra, serving Ramachandra.
He is serving face to face. Ambarish is sadhav. He is doing manasi seva. Understand? Ashtakaliya Leela life. Ambarish was in Mathura, in Madhuban. And also he circumambulated in whole Braja. He went. And he felt the glory of Krishna. So, he is pure bhakta. But Hanuman, he is siddha bhakta. He was engaging his all senses directly to Raj.
Naam announce karta hoga. Panchali ji hai.
Very soon.
This morning, quickly I will announce the name that.
This is it. Very soon.
This morning, the devotees who received initiation, we request you now to stand up. Sri Gurudev will announce your spiritual new name. Beatrice Lee Kress. Where is he? Or she? Okay.
Well, where?
Standing.
Oh, sir, this is come here. Don't delay. I don't want delay. Gone.
You
should.
What?
Vijayanti.
Vijayanti. Oh, Vijayanti is good name.
Perry Yo Bungers.
Where?
There.
Oh, what? Tulasi Devi, very dear to Krishna.
Teresa Yankovo. She is not here.
What name? Taruni. Taruni Dasi.
Henry Chico Wilson.
There, back there.
Oh, what name? Haridas.
Harikant.
Oh, Harikant.
Sarah Louise McCafe.
Surati.
Surati Devi.
Vishnu Jan.
Vishnu is Jan is good name. Oh, Vishnu Jan. Sumara. Sumara.
One more thing. Anyone who has lost.
What?
Sumadhura.
Sumadhura.
Pacha.
God, good. Sumadhura.
Good. During the Anuput ceremony, Govardhan Puja, anyone who has lost their watch, we have received one watch, a wrist watch. You can come, or she can come and collect it.
Oh, it was a woman. She was looking for it.
Again once.
Okay. Anyone who has lost a watch, or who knows of anyone who has lost a watch, please come to me and collect your watch.
Yeah, there she is.
Then the devotees who have today received initiation, or who have been in fire sacrifice and collected bhiksha, you can come now and offer your bhiksha to Sri Gurudev.
In donation.
Donations.
While the devotees.
Thus ends the class on the 16th of January 2003 in Hilo in the evening. Hawaii, Hare Krishna, Aloha, Mahalo.